Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Kings Infra Ventures Limited Q3 and 9 months FY25 earnings conference call hosted by Ventura Securities Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star and then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. Before we begin, I would like to point out that this conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on the belief, opinions, and expectations of the company as on date of this call. These statements do not guarantee the future performance of the company, and it may involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. I would now like to hand over the call to Kaushal from Confidently Partners. Thank you, and over to you, Kaushal.
Thank you. Good day, ladies and gentlemen. On behalf of Confidently Partners and Ventura Securities, I welcome you all to Kings Infra Ventures Limited Q3 and 9-month FY24 earnings conference call. The company is today represented by Mr. Saji Baby John, Chairman and Managing Director, and Mr. Baby John Saji, Joint Managing Director. Now, I would like to hand over the call to company's Executive Director, Mr. Bal Gopalan, to introduce the management team. Over to you, sir.
Hello, sir.
Okay. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. On behalf of Kings Infra Ventures Limited, let me extend a warm welcome to every one of you who are here with us this evening for the conference call of Kings Infra Ventures Limited. We have here with us this evening our Chairman and Managing Director, Mr. Saji Baby John, our Chief Operating Officer, Mr. Chandrabhat, and our Chief Financial Officer, Mr. Nadbhar Charian, to inform you all of the pioneering role the company has had in heralding the blue revolution in the country, how Kings Infra has distinguished itself through transformative technologies and sustainable growth, and interact with you regarding current performance and how the company is charting its way forward. I wish all of you a very purposeful meeting this evening and look forward to you all to partner with the pioneer to create a sustainable future. Thank you. Thank you all.
Well, with this now, I would like to hand over the call to Mr. Saji Baby John, Chairman and Managing Director, for his opening remarks.
Good evening. Good evening to all. I'm Saji Baby John, Chairman and Managing Director of Kings Infra Ventures Limited. This is our first earnings call that we are conducting. So if there are any hiccups, please bear with us, because being the first one. But I would like to have introduce myself. I am a technocrat. I belong to a family which was in fisheries, and I finished my engineering, and I did my basic training in Japan in fisheries business way back in 1983-84. Then in 1987, I founded this company under the name of Victory Aqua Farms. We are the pioneers in aquaculture. Victory Aqua Farm was the first integrated aquaculture shrimp farming project in the country, having own hatchery, farm, and also ventured into processing and all other activities. I would like to tell you that in this business, we had being the pioneer, we had also faced a lot of challenges because at the time the rules, the laws of the country were not framed for this new industry. So it had lots of ups and downs, but we went through it and we sustained in this business. And our focus right from the beginning till today has been to improve the technology of aquaculture, of shrimp farming. So how we differentiate ourselves from other seafood companies or other export companies are that we are focused on sustainable aquaculture. So on the prawn farming itself, the core area of farming, as I always say, I am an invited speaker to many international as well as national seminars and conferences on aquaculture. And as I always say, farming is a backbone. Every other industry, whether it's a forward linkage or a backward linkage, like a hatchery or a feed mill, or a processor or an exporter, everybody depends on the farmer. Because 80% of the value chain of this industry is from farming. Whereas the other sectors of this industry are well organized, farming is the area, aqua farming is the area which is still in a disorganized way, with majority of the farmers having small holdings and no access to proper technology. So our focus has been to improve the technology with a basic concept of profit per unit of farm. So every hectare, every acre of farm, how to increase the profitability has been our key focus area of our R&D. And we have a very strong R&D team with experts in the field, where we are continuously innovating on the technology. And once we establish the technology, now we have a basic numbers in our farm and farm production. Now we are venturing more, focusing more into expanding in the international market, developing the domestic market, as well as developing our own team has developed almost 16 products, organic products, which can help in reducing the cost of farming, improve the growth of the prawns, increase the value of the prawns. So this is a key differentiator of this company. And now we have achieved a certain size, which will help us to move forward with the forward as well as backward linkages, and we are expanding our footprint. We have already, this year we expanded in Europe. We set up a resident office there. We have a strong presence in China, and by next year we want to have our own subsidiary in the US. So we are at a very crucial phase of our growth, and we look forward to the support of one and all to make this vision into a reality. Thank you.
Hello. We can start with the question and answer.
Thank you, sir.
Hello.
Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. If you have a question, please press star and one on your telephone keypad and wait for your turn to ask the question. If you would like to withdraw your request, you may do so by pressing star and one again. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have any question, please press star and one on your telephone keypad. We will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. First question comes from Raja, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Am I audible?
Yes.
Hello. So congratulations, sir. My first question is on Shanghai RSF. What is the latest update? Have you started? And what is the current revenue contribution from it? And also, if you can give some update on Europe, have you got any orders from them? This is my first question.
Yeah. See, we started with Shanghai RSF. And as you know, Shanghai RSF is a subsidiary company of Japan Seafoods. It's a Japanese major in seafood, and Shanghai RSF is a joint venture of Japanese company in China. And we sent about 7 containers to them initially. But because of some geopolitical issues between Japan and China, this Shanghai RSF has slowed down their operations in China now. But they are still in touch with us, and their volume in China has come down. So we have found an alternative, one of the largest buyers in China. We participated in the Chinese seafood fair. And there is a company by name of Golian, which is the largest importer into China. And we invited them, and they came to our factory and farm, and they have approved the farm and factory. And we started with them now. And already about 8 containers have gone to this new company. And Shanghai RSF is also buying continuously, but a reduced volume. They are not able to achieve that 8 containers, what they promised us. So we have found an alternative to take up, and this company can buy even up to 20 containers a month. So that's the current status of China, and we are focusing on China. We have a very high hope in the Chinese market, because our quality, whatever we send to RSF Shanghai as well as Golian, have been very, very well appreciated, because it was mostly from our own farms. The quality is extremely good, and we are getting in repeat inquiries, and we are even getting new people who are coming, whether we can sign up for more containers. So that's the situation with China. Europe is basically a cephalopods market. In my visit to Europe, we appointed Mr. Jesus Vincent as our resident officer, and we acquired 6 new companies who are directly buying from us. Companies by name of Barufet, Wofco in Spain, and Italia in Italy. These are the major companies. And already every month containers are going to them. And we are getting a better price realization than selling through intermediaries.
Good to know, sir. My follow-up is, can you tell me what is the revenue contribution from China in December quarter, from combining both the companies? What is the revenue contribution from China?
In China... Lalba, do you have the exact percentage? China would be around 50%, I think, approximately. I'm not exact numbers, I don't know. I'm not aware. CFO may let us.
Around 15%, you are telling. Around
15%. 50%, yeah, China.
Okay. So, my next question is, what is the timeline for King's Eco Park? When are we expecting to start commercial production? And at full scale, how much tons of shrimp farming capacity does it have?
At full capacity, it will produce 1,600 tons of shrimp. The work is going on. Initial work is going on. Commercial production, period of construction is 18 months. And... 24 months will be, then we have 6 months for a one cycle crop. So in 24 months, we will have the production from Meritech Eco Park. And Maritaka Eco Park is not just about producing more shrimp. It also has various components like nuclear breeding center, where, you know, we are working on new species development to have our own broodstock bank. And so there are many different components in the Maritech Park. It's not just a farm.
Okay, sir.
It's a hatchery, brood bank, farm, technology development center, training center, everything. And we have a ESDM portion where we also will assemble the sensors which are required for the latest future type of technology development in aquaculture. This is a closed loop system, completely like a greenhouse. It's completely in like industrial sheds in which we have the tanks, and it will be continuously there is continuous stocking and continuous harvesting. This is our first of its kind in the world.
Thank you for the brief answer, sir. I wanted to know the current debt level after all the entities issued till now.
Hello?
Yes, sir.
I didn't get the question correctly.
So, my question is, debt level after all the entities issued till now.
Lalbat, you can, CFO can answer that question.
Yeah.
Good evening to all.
Good evening, sir.
You are talking about the debt ratio.
Yeah, yeah. What is the current debt level in absolute terms after NCD is issued till now?
I'll just let me check it out, that exact figure, but only from the through the NCD.
And I think what is the balance outstanding of NCD? The other is the, see, we don't have any other long-term debt. It is only the bank limits. But NCD, what is the outstanding? I think it's about 15 odd crores or something like that.
It is near the 16.45. Approximately outstanding figure of NCD now.
Yeah.
Sorry, sir. Your voice is breaking. Can you repeat?
Lalbat?
Hello.
It is approximately 16.45 crore outstanding NCDs up on date.
Yeah.
Okay.
And the redeemable over the next four years.
Yes, sir.
Okay, sir. Okay. My next question is, we have a...
Mr. Raj, sorry to interrupt you. Can you join
okay,
back in queue?
Okay, I'll be back in queue. Yeah, I'll be.
Thank you, sir. The next question comes from Suresh Pal from KRSP Capital Limited. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity, sir. My question is, sir, in 2023, you have won some contracts or orders from China and United States in the tunes of, I think, 100 crore each. So, what is the revenue guidance that we can that you can give for coming financial years, next 2-3 years? I believe you have a very robust outlook based on the contracts that you won.
Yeah. See, this first question also was regarding the Shanghai RSF, which I answered. Shanghai RSF was the order, MOU, that we signed with China. It is the Japanese company who has a subsidiary in China. So that was for 8 containers per month. But as I explained, due to some geopolitical reasons, they slowed down their operations in China, and then they are buying, but smaller quantities from us, so we have found a good replacement. In addition to them, we have identified and started dealing with the largest importer in China, called Kolian, and which they came to a factory and farm, and they approved product, and it's going smoothly now. So we can expect the volumes to pick up. As far as the U.S. entry is concerned, we had signed with JHN company and went there, but when we had to then we had to set up our own subsidiary in the US for them, and they were only taking after customs and FDA delivery. At that point of time, the U.S. government introduced a countervailing duty, and there was... Hello?
Yes, sir, I'm on the line.
Hello?
Tell me.
The U.S. government has introduced a countervailing duty, which is almost 7.5%. Then we would have to import the containers into U.S. and then keep the stock there. After paying the duty, only these people used to pay us. So the working capital requirement of executing that order for the U.S. was very high. So we have kept it in abeyance. And this year we'll be opening our subsidiary because we have now additional bank finance and funding already tied up. So this year we'll be going ahead with the U.S. And because the U.S. had slowed down, we focused on Europe, and Europe is doing very well. And U.S., we have identified one or two larger buyers with whom we will be having a tie-up, and we will be opening our own subsidiary in the U.S. in the next 6 months.
So then, sir, what percentage of growth can we expect? Can we expect the past rate of growth to continue that you have been growing for the last 2-3 years? Is it possible to continue to grow at that speed, sir?
Yes, actually, the last 2 years, growth has not come to our expectation because the overall global scenario, you know, there was a two wars are going on, and there was a glut from South America. The prices were pressed down. There was a glut in the market. So last 2 years, the export was not really up to our expectation. But now you would have seen the newspapers and analyst reports that now India is now again coming to number one position in aquaculture. Ecuador, our main competitor, has come down almost 30-40%. And the shrimp prices have corrected itself, like upward correction of 10-20% in the last 3-4 months. So definitely we can expect a much better growth rate than what we have been achieving on quarter-to-quarter basis in the last 1.5-2 years.
Sir, what percentage of our revenue comes from export? And in terms of shrimp, I believe we are backward integrated, right, sir?
We are an aquaculture company. Our main production is from our farm. In addition to our own exports, we are exporting to other exporters also. Wherever they have a premium and they can give us a premium, our farm is an independent division which deals with other major exporters also in this country.
So, sir, what percentage of revenue of ours comes from exports?
Lalbat, this year I think 30%.
This last quarter 30% revenue from seafood division. Sir.
For the export.
So export is 30%, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you, sir. That's all from my side. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. I request the participants to restrict with 2 questions in the initial round and join back the queue for more questions. Next question comes from Aditya Bhotra from Avora Advisors LLP. Please go ahead.
Hi. Firstly, I would like to congratulate the full management team on the great results. My question is about the CapEx plans that's going to happen in the coming years. If you could break that down by segment, like King's Myotech Eco Park, the processing facility additions, King's Frigo, etc.
Thank you. Regarding our CapEx plan for the next 3 years, Lalbat, will you take this question or can I? Hello? CFO or CEO will take the question? Hello?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Okay. See, basically, our processing facility is quite old. So we need to have, once we are opening out the U.S. subsidiary, we need to have a high-end retail IQ of processing line, which will cost us around 20 crores, which we are coming up in Tuticorin. We plan to put it. See, there is a subsidy scheme also available from Food Processing Ministry. About 5 crores is available. The balance investment will be around 15 crores for the processing division. The aquaculture division, by our existing, we have 150 acres of ponds, but we have additional 150 acres more to be developed. And that will, till now we are developing through internal accruals and some of the NCD proceeds. So that 150 acres would cost around 35 to 40 crores to develop, which we'll be developing over a period of, you know, next 12 to 24 months. And apart from that, we then is the investment into the subsidiaries. Subsidiary will be standalone by itself. Hello. Meritech Park is a major investment. It's a 170 crore project in phase one itself, where the equity is around 60 crores. Hello. Hello.
Sir, you're audible, sir. Please go ahead.
The equity is around 60 crores. And 110 crores would be the debt. It is a Government of India Fisheries and Infrastructure Development Fund through whom we are talking. And there is a 3% interest subvention also, and it is a long-term fund supported by Government of India according to the National Fisheries Development Board. So, and that's a state of the art, one of its kind. So our land and development contribution, which is already with us, is valued at around 24 crores. And we are looking at investing another 36 crores more into the equity of the Meritech Park. These are the main capex. The capex requirement for Frigo, Bento, and for developing the Indian retail chain will be around 25 crores. That's also over the next 36 months we are planning. We are not going, mostly we'll be doing it through internal accruals.
Understood. Thank you so much. I have another question, which is related to the internal accrual that you were mentioning, because I noticed that for the past 12 months or so, the cash flow from operations has been negative, right? Even though we have been fairly profitable, we don't seem to have a lot of accruals. And that seems to be attributed mostly to significant increases in working capital. Could you share why that was the case and if we expect that to change in the future?
See, because that's, since we are an aquaculture company, when we, if we are growing more of our shrimps, the culture period itself is 120 to 150 days. Then the processing will take 1 month. Then the export transit period is taking now. The transit period, because of all this Red Sea issue and all, from 40 days is gone to 60 days. And after receiving in the destination, they will clear the bill, or the LC will be 60 days from the date of BL or 90 days from the date of BL. So this entire chain of activities is what is, you know, creating this larger working capital. You see, if you see our trading activity, the working capital requirement will be about 40 to 60 days only. But since we are growing and we are exporting, are growing and we are selling to other exporters and they are also paying us on realization, that's where our cash flow is stressed. But as our own exports and our bill discounting increases more, then definitely this will improve. And now we have also achieved one more very, very important technology development that we are doing continuous cyclic. That means this year instead of two crops, we achieve three crops. So automatically the growing period is coming down. So we are working on it.
I see, it's very clear. I'll join the queue again.
Thank you. Next question comes from Tushar Vasuja from Scoop Investment. Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for the opportunity, sir. I have a couple of questions. First one is on Maritech Eco Park. In the press release, it was mentioned that the shrimp production will increase from 5 tons per hectare to 50 tons per hectare. So can you please tell what will lead to this substantial jump in production efficiencies?
See, the 5 ton per hectare is the national average approximately. It's not, we are already achieving 20 tons per hectare in our traditional farms.
Okay, you're already at 20 tons per hectare and you plan to further increase it to 50 tons per hectare. So what are the factors that will contribute to that?
See, increasing the number of crops, see, in the Maritech Park, we have split down the growing cycle into four. You know, when the shrimp is small, they need a smaller space to, you know, live. And as they grow bigger, now in traditional farming, you put the baby shrimp into the same pond and you grow it in the same pond over the next 120 or 250 days. So that means a tremendous amount of water is wasted because 1 hectare of pond contains 1.25 crore liters of water. So in 1.25 crore liters of water, you are putting 5 lakh shrimps and they are living in that for 150 days. Now imagine the scenario when you are dividing into four. And the first, we need only 50,000 liters of water in the first small tank. Then we, next it will, after 30 days, it will move. Through technology, it will move from the first tank into the nursery tank to the intermediate grower tank, in which it will live for another 30 days. So when the shrimp moves from the first tank becomes empty. So we clean up and put the new batch there. So it becomes a cyclic production. So easily 5 to 6 crops will be possible instead of national average of 2 and our present 3. That's how we want to achieve. That's how we will achieve. And we have done a proof of concepts in this technology with some support, with the AI support for to study the underwater behavior of the shrimps, their health, everything. And then we have developed the technology, which is we done 2 years of research and demonstration, and we are sure of it. And after that, we are starting this on a commercial basis.
Okay, sir. Perfect. And sir, what has been the trend in shrimp prices for the last 6 months and how do you view them going forward?
Come again, please.
Just a minute. So what has been the trend in shrimp prices for the last 6 months and how do you view them going forward?
Last 6 months, shrimp prices globally, if you see an average of in Indian terms, if it is average of 300 rupees, then it has gone to 350 rupees or in globally, maybe from $4.5 to $5 average to $6.5 average is gone. That's a difference over the 6 months. And we are hoping this trend will continue because, the main pressure on shrimp prices was because of the overproduction in Ecuador and other South American countries. But they have huge infrastructure problems and their industry has collapsed because they want for very unscientific and very fast development without calculating the power resources or the labor and the other resources of the country, they expanded a lot. And their industry cannot grow more than this. So it's the time for India now, and we are able to command the prices in the future.
Okay, so my next question was on this only. Can you give an overview of the entire Ecuador situation? What are the duties? Where do they come in the global shrimp supply? What is currently happening and how is it affecting Indian players?
No, Ecuador, you know, is maybe is a very small country, maybe the size of one of our states only, like Tamil Nadu or Kerala. That's the size. And it's a centrally governed the communist socialist government there. So they were able to dictate a lot. They went for a very high development from 5 lakhs kilos of shrimp. From 5 lakhs tons of shrimp, they went to 1.5 million tons of shrimp in a period of 3 years' time, which was a very, very, and, you know, being a centrally, like a government-controlled institution, they were not very, very careful about the pricing or anything. They were dumping in all the markets. So that is what put the glut in the prices. But they have an advantage that their rootstock is available locally. And in South America has a good fish meal. So these were the advantages that they had. And American market, and you know, is very close by, and they got initially they got preferential tariffs and the lower transit time. So people, you know, were making more profit by getting Ecuador cheap shrimps from Ecuador. So many of the cheap buyers, you know, not the very top top of the line supermarkets, but the lower ones went for the cheaper shrimp from Ecuador. That's what is there. But last year, I think there's a 30% in November, December, there was a year-on-year fall and of 30%. And I think most of the buyers who shifted from India and Asia to South America are now looking back at Asia and mainly India. So that's the real situation, and they also have now some other issues, which I don't know whether is true, but I read that one of the topmost exporters in Peru was forcibly taken over by government and closed down, because they have all these companies, these South American companies, they have lot of links with the mafias and things like that. So there's so many other things, factors are there, which we are not sure about. We don't know, but we are just reading from some sources.
Thank you, sir. That answers all of my questions. Thank you. Yes, sir. That answers all of my questions. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks so much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have any questions, please press star and 1 on your telephone keypad. Next question comes from Sushil Lahoti, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Please go ahead.
Am I audible?
Yes, sir. You are audible, sir.
Good evening, sir. Good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
Thank you, sir, for giving me opportunity and conducting a con call. Sir, my question is with regard to this negative case law in the financial year 23 and 24. So, I just wanted to know the reason behind it, and when we are posting 20% about EBITDA, so when it will come positive? Because as I understand that negative cash flow mean you are not able to recover from your debtors. So whether I'm right or what is the current situation when we are coming in positive cash flow?
Sir, we are giving longer credit to our, because of the transit delays and other things, we are giving longer credit to our customers.
Okay.
So, definitely, now we are working on some factoring where the, you see, the once we go for a factoring arrangement, we will get the cash immediately after shipment, but maybe the factoring company will collect from the customer at a later date. So.
Okay. My second question is, 3 years back, I read one filing from BSE that you have created world record by making this 80 gram shrimp. And in that filing, you also mentioned that now in international market, we will get $15 instead of $15 per kg. So just now you have spoken that it is now $6.5 per kg. So when it will come $15 per kg?
Sir, I said the question was about what is the international price of shrimp. So international price of shrimp is always recorded as the mid-level count price. So there's the average price. I've not told about our shrimp price of the thing, see, of the 80 gram shrimp. Now, the potential to earn $15 or even $20 is there, but it has to be placed in the very high-end supermarkets in Western Europe or in the US. So we are working towards that. You know, that's what even if I remember very well, even in that filing, and then I had given a presentation at that time. It's available on the our video is available on our in the video link I can share. The videos are available where I have very clearly stated that this price is so rare that we can place it in very high markets, and from $5 at that time we can go up to $15. So that is my speech at that point of time.
Okay, sir. My next question is with regard to our guidance.
It's available in our Kingston Fry YouTube channel, is there? That speech is there.
Okay, okay, sir. My next question is what is your guideline for next 3 to 5 years when we are reaching 500 or 1000 crore or so turnover and 20% EBITDA margin we are just having? So in going forward, what will be the EBITDA margin and what will be the turnover in next 3 to 5 years?
Sir, we will we'll be able to maintain our EBITDA margins. The turnover definitely is based on international market situations also. But you see, because of the last 2 years of very distressed international market, we went slow on our exports. Now, with the revival of the markets and the better pricing, we will try to achieve whatever we have lost during the last 2 years, whatever we had predicted, we were not able to achieve. So I think we will be able to achieve those figures. That's it.
Okay, sir. One more question. I see your peer group company.
Hello, sir. Can you join back with you, please?
Okay, okay. Thank you, madam.
Thank you. Next question comes from Sachin Paul from MC Research. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. This is Sachin from Money Control Research team. Just wanted to check with you on the thing that how are the shrimp seed prices trending? Because the demand has kind of pulled up in the last 6 months or so, but there has been some shortage on that side. So how do you see that thing playing out?
I missed the first part of the question.
So I was saying that what's the demand supply situation on the shrimp seed trending at this point of time? Export has kind of picked up. Yeah, the broodstock.
Shrimp feed.
Yeah.
Shrimp feed market is is already over shrimp capacity.
Something shrimp feed. Yeah.
Feed. Feed, you know, there are so many feed companies, and now the government of India has also reduced the import duty on shrimp feed. So there is a lot of competition between feed manufacturers. So as an aquaculture company, we are hopeful that the feed prices will further come down and the farmers will benefit from that.
Okay. And what's the broodstock situation on the domestic front end?
Broodstock situation is good, but still the broodstocks are coming from, you know, from the US, Florida, and, you know, other destinations is being imported right now. But I think in the present budget, the government has announced a policy allowing Indian companies to set up nuclear breeding centers. So then very soon India will be able to have our own grandparent stock and we'll have our own broodstock.
Okay. And how's the farming on that side? What are the demand supply situation on that side at this point of time?
On
the broodstock, yeah.
No, broodstock, sufficient broodstock is available. There is no shortage of broodstock. But if we have our own broodstock development, you know, we can go for continuous improvement of the broodstock. That's what we are saying.
Okay. And how the prices have been trending?
It's been steady. Broodstock prices have been steady. Hatchery seed prices have been steady for the last 2 to 3 years. There's no change.
Okay, so thank you.
Thank you. Next question comes from Narendra Shah from Robo Capital. Please go ahead.
All my questions have been answered. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have any question, please press star and one on your telephone keypad. Next question comes from Raghav Agarwal, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. I only had one question. So last year we had put in filings regarding signing MOUs for supply to US and China totaling to around 300 containers per year starting from 2024. Just want to check how many of those 300 containers have we been able to supply this year and what is the guidance on that supply for 2025?
Yeah, thank you. I explained in the earlier questions also, it was not 300 containers, it was for 100 containers each. MOU was signed with Ars of Shanghai, which is a subsidiary of the Japanese company, Japanese Food Service, and JHN company was an intermediary company in New York. Importing and distributing Indian shrimp there. And the relationship with RSF is still going on, but the Japanese companies, you know, because of geopolitical reasons, they have reduced their exposure in China. So they are buying only 2 to 3 containers now per month. So we visited China and we tied up with another large company called Golian who have now bought about 8 containers and they have agreed to step it up to 15 to 20 containers in the next season and they will further grow it. So US, we have kept the US market entry. We have delayed it because even now the cash flows are negative and if we give further credit to American companies after taking the stock there and keeping and paying the duties and then if we are paid after 6 months, after 60 days, after clearance of customs, you know, we will not be able to sustain that business. So we did not go ahead with the MOU with the JHN Co. And we are planning our alternate subsidiary and our US market entry only for next year.
Understood, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question comes from Kaushal Junjunwala, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello. Good evening, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. Could you provide an update on King's Melt Park project? How do you plan to finance it, through internal accruals or external borrowings? And what's your strategy to monetize it? what will be its impact on per acre yield of production?
Excuse me, just which project are you referring to?
King's Melt Park project.
Yeah, Melt Eco Park, yeah. Yes, so yes. It's a King's Melt Eco Park on completion will produce 1,600 tons of shrimp.
Okay. And when are you anticipating to complete it?
It will be commercial production will be after within 24 to 30 months.
Okay. So
the construction period is around 18 months.
Okay. The construction is 18 months and commercial production for like 30 months.
Yeah.
Okay. So are you planning to raise finance for it?
Yeah, that's a subsidiary. That subsidiary will go for some special funds which the Government of India is providing through NABARD and nationalized banks with the interest subvention. And we are talking to three or four different banks who have all shown interest. So we are expecting the sanction by end of March and the drawdown maybe from April.
Okay. So what's your outlook on Sistar 360 and what's your plan for it for 2 to 3 years? How do you plan to monetize it, and what percentage contribution to revenue can we expect in future from that project?
Sistar 360 is basically our digital platform where we are supplying technology to farmers, and buyback of the product from the farmer to our company. We have a registration of almost 1,500 farmers in Sistar 360. But we have realized that the trading, online trading is not happening. So we are setting offline technology centers which can support the farmers, and they need more direct interactions with our technology technicians. So that's it. And we are coming up with a new program called Adopt a Farmer. That means we will step into the farmer's shoes, we will take the whole farm, and we will manage the farm, and we will give the technology and inputs through Sistar. So that's the plan. And Sistar also is launched a new vertical under Sistar. We are launching a new vertical called Speed. There's a Sistar protocol for entrepreneurship and entrepreneurship development.
Okay.
It's called Speed program, which will train people to use new technologies. It's a 100-day program where we will train any graduate from any, even non-graduate can be trained to operate a farm or operate an aquaculture unit. So Sistar is coming up with the Speed program also.
So, sir, how do you plan to monetize it, and like what percentage of revenue contribution are you expecting from it in future? Or is it a very nascent stage right now? What's your take on that?
It will help us to this whole plan. It's like Meritech Park is like a hardware park, and Sistar is your operating system. So together we are building the supply chain, which will be unique to us. So overall result will come into King's Infra.
Understood. So despite all these developments, we haven't seen the expected increase in revenue as we were expecting. So what are the key factors to that, and what are the steps we are taking to drive growth in future?
See, the expected growth has not come only in the top line, as I was explaining regarding market situations and other things. And our focus has been on technology development and improving profitability. If you realize, our profitability ratios are the best in the industry. I think globally we are competitive. Our product, growth, size, quality, everything is global best. Now we have a certain size that we can fully confidently go. Because if we go and sign a contract with a supermarket chain, definitely whether we should have a minimum quantity of our own production. Now, the people who have come and inspected our product, they are not interested or if we just source the material from anybody else. So they want the sister protocol, they want everything, full traceability. And that's the type of, market that we are aiming at. That's why it's getting a little slow. But I assure you that within the next 6 months to 1 year, you can see a major difference.
So what percentage of revenue growth are you expecting in next 6 months to a year?
No, as I told, we are expecting to grow we had projected 200 containers earlier, which did not happen due to various reasons. We are expecting to go to that figures, in this coming year, easily.
Thank you, sir. That's all from my side.
Thank you. Next question comes from Manohar Vihas, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Is there any progress?
Mr. Manohar, can you please repeat the question? So you're audible now.
So you had mentioned about monetizing the land assets in Bangalore and Cochin. So is there any update on that? What
yes.
is the current
bank? We have a land bank in Bangalore, Cochin, and
hello.
Hello.
So just a moment, sir.
Yeah.
Padi, sir. Hello. Your participants kindly stay connected. Please go ahead, sir.
Hello.
Hello, sir.
Hello. So our expectation is to give these projects on joint development and expected to realize around 150 crores over the next 36 months. Approximately 50 to 60 crores from Cochin, about 50 to 60 crores from Bangalore, and it's not the full land bank, but what we plan to monetize, and about 30 odd crores from Tuticorin, which is what we have the plan right now.
Okay. One other question. This is regarding containers. So what is the typical size or the capacity of a container, and what is the typical price that you sell a container at?
Normally, the size of a container is, 40-foot container is what is normally being exported. So it depends on the product. The product can be anywhere between 16 tons to 20 tons per container. So in the low value items, the container is around $100,000, and the higher value item, the container is maybe about $140 to $150.
Okay, thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. That would be the last question for the day. Now, I hand over the floor to Kaushal for closing comments.
Thank you, everyone, for joining the conference call of Kings Infra Venture Limited. If you have any queries, you can write to us at info@confideloop.com. Once again, thank you, everyone, for joining the conference.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes your conference call. Thank you for your participation. You may now disconnect your lines. Thank you and have a good day.